Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Spotlight Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Tour Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also on Periscope at Total Tutor. So I'm excited to welcome the program as I'm getting him on the line. Author Rob Roselli. Rob, how are you doing, man? And we have another interesting discussion. As you see, again, politically, some crazy stuff going on. Republicans attacking each other, Democrats attacking each other, pretty much ruining each other's credibility this week. That's how I'd summarize this week.
Look, I mean, as you know, I look at the presidential reality show as a little more than a live stream, perpetual comic book. It's a joke. They're all a bunch of buffoons, losers, Ivy League morons. The only one on the radar screen, as far as I'm concerned, is Donald Trump. And as we discussed ad nauseum on the show, he does not go nearly far enough in dealing with the, quote, conspiracy that is the entrenched money changers, the modern-day money changers, the same guy that Jesus chased out of the temples with whips, who we know today as the Federal Reserve System and its allies at the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the genocidal maniacs, kooks, crackpots, freaks and weirdos, Malthusian freaks over at the United Nations and the whole thing, the whole gamut. Nothing's being said about that, and that's just too bad. But it is good that Trump is stirring up the hornet's nest of the lower caste of one world, new world order sellouts, the Hillary Clintons, the other, the Republican so-called conservatives, the Fox News so-called experts. Bernie Sanders, a lot of the Bernie Sanders is just kind of a putz. I mean, what a stupid guy. I almost feel sorry for that guy.
Yes.
I think he's just dumb.
But here's the thing, Hillary can't even beat Bernie Sanders in some places. And Bernie's getting this, what happens if it would be Trump versus Bernie Sanders? Could you imagine the comedy involved in that?
Whatever. We spent 2.5 minutes on this already. I think it's too much.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things I agree. Fox. We could watch Fox to talk about that. But about the un-American genocidal complex, you kind of talk about all the different things going on from, again, the presidential clown, the candidacy of Donald Trump. You talk about Darwinism, eugenics, abortion. So let's kind of hit the table on specific things about the un-American genocidal complex, especially when you look at, again, the president and what we have to look at based on prophecy, what's happening. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, look, let's review. I mean, hopefully I'm adding new listeners every week, and today being Monday, January 18th, 2016, Well, let's just do a quick review.
Right.
We had the Mystery Babylon shows, sometime back in December. And I'm really trying to get these shows posted online. I'm working on it. But just to give the overview, we went through line by line, Revelation 17 and 18, and it's playing out. Unfortunately, and I'm not happy about this stuff. I mean, people out there know me. Laugh at me, that's fine, friends and family and stuff like this, and they can always say what you can say, and unfortunately when things happen, it's not going to be that funny anymore, but anyway, what's the way it's going to play out? We're going to have a worldwide calamitous economic collapse of biblical proportions, a very quick attempt at some kind of worldwide government led by the United States. The beast or the chaos. The phoenix rising from the ashes, the Freemasons and the Illuminati, who we really talk about, the real power brokers, not the presidential reality show, these buffoons that they parade out on Fox News and CNN, that collective of buffoons, one of their so-called presidential candidates, but the real power brokers are going to, after the economic collapse, are going to try their attempt at a world system, which goes all the way back to Nimrod. Tower of Babel, Babylon, the original Babylon, for people that are familiar with Genesis 11, and this sort of thing. It's going to be the next attempt. It's going to fail. It's going to fail miserably. It's going to fail hard. And the United States will be attacked ambush style by some combination of a Russian, Chinese, North Korean subswarm, EMP attack, all the ISIS, that this multi-name scam, this multi-name, multi-birthplace scam. More time goes on and the more research I do, I believe, is the image of the beast. Okay, he's not the beast. He's not the comic book Antichrist with some horns and a pitchfork running around, jabbing people with it like
right,
some
right,
of
right.
morons would have the ability. But anyway, he's right in the middle of this whole mess. But anyway, the United States, I've identified beyond a shadow of a doubt, is the whore. Of Revelation 17 that rides the beast, that says the beast has 10 horns. This harkens back to Revelation chapter 12, Daniel chapter 7 through 9. The beast shall hate the whore. The beast is this weak conglomerate of countries. I'm going to say mostly Islamic, obviously the Russians and the Chinese, and you can see it. I mean, everybody, the world hates the United States, and with good reason. And I'm not saying this from some left-wing Rolling Stone stupid jackass kind of way, George
right.
Soros from the Rolling Stone. I'm saying it from the neocon United States, except the United States exceptional crowd, the Fox News neocon crowd, the Hillary Clinton starting wars all over the Middle East for democracy, so-called, and all we do is leave death, destruction, and dismay and disillusionment in our wake, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya. We're trying to do the same thing in Syria, and you go back to Vietnam, supposedly to fight communism, another waste of life and money and good human beings, Vietnam, and what the hell was Vietnam all about? So, who are the United States, and who are we to moralize to the world, okay? And I'm talking about the United States today, the 21st century, okay, the one that's been taken over by the Federal Reserve, money-changing crowd. I'm not talking about my country, the one that's of the founding fathers. Okay, that's my country as far as I'm concerned. Not these idiots, buffoons, sellouts, and whores that run this country today and that are running it into the ground. The bought and sold media, educational complex, all these private elite losers and these experts. They're all a bunch of buffoons. Okay, it's all coming to light. People have been warning, people like yours truly have been warning about the economic collapse that's coming, this hot air balloon known as the United States economy, this debt-fueled economy, the biggest economic scam in world history playing out right before our eyes, coming to its mathematical conclusion. It's all coming to a head, is what I'm getting at, okay? And this is why I people are wondering, if I sound jaded. That's fine. I don't care. I'm not doing this for ratings. I'm not Rush Limbaugh. Right? I'm not going to sit here.
Right.
My stupid cigar and blabber on about American exceptionalism and, George Bush and go bomb the Iraqis and the Afghanis and all these other stuff, all these wars. And Mr. Conservative, Mr. Fox News, the hell with all these people at this point. This country's going down in flames and it's going down hard. Again, I won't say when. I'm not one of these date-setting people. That's a whole other crowd. This Israel First, these blood moon morons. Okay, these people don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea, absolutely no idea what they're talking about. And we've mentioned this in the past several shows. putting Israel at the center of biblical prophecy. Are these people for real? These are supposed to be the experts. These are the New York Times bestsellers selling all these books.
Right, right, right.
I wonder, there's so much blind, so-called evangelical Christian support for the nation of Israel. Now, where does this come from? It comes from the Trinity Broadcasting Network and its conglomerate of buffoons and wolves in sheep's clothing and con men who call themselves ministers and pastors and all this other nonsense, who misinterpret scripture. You know, give me money and your life will be better. And the Joel Osteen, the Rick Warrens, those other losers, okay. It's just, the whole thing is just crashing down before us, okay? And I'm sending this out as a warning. And if you don't like me, you don't like what I have to say, that's fine. I don't care, okay? I'm not making any money anyway. That's just where we are at this point, okay? And, you know, again, I don't know where these shows ever go, but I'll just give the website because we're going to run out of time like we always do.
Right, right.
But it's Box of Sunglasses. boxofsunglasses.com. It's one word, okay? And on there, you mentioned the Un-American Genocidal Complex. You can get the book. It's basically, I like to call it the Cliff Notes version of everything I talk about on the show, everything that's on my website. I mean, there's literally, I don't even know at this point, between my first book and all the pages on the website, there's probably close to 1,000 pages worth of material, with hundreds of footnotes, okay, documenting, corroborating, confirming everything that I say. It's all there. But the Un-American Genocidal Complex, the book, it's a paperback. You couldn't get it in a Kindle. It's available on Amazon. Okay, it's fully documented. There's an appendix in there with United States government documents. And it really goes into the details of the real beast, the real Eastern establishment, okay?
Right.
Not some conglomeration of, you know, Arab countries that are going to, you know, take out God's chosen people, Israel, and all this other nonsense, this stupidity. I can't believe what I'm reading half the time or listening to. I'm listening to these buffoons talk about the Middle East and all this other nonsense, okay? The United States is at the center of this whole thing, okay, and what's running it, some people call the military-industrial complex. I happen to call the Eastern establishment. I happen to call the Un-American Genocidal Complex. It's this plate of spaghetti. Okay, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, the Bohemian Grove crew. Okay, on the face of it, you know, Skull and Bones. Okay, so the front cover of the book, you got the Skull and Bones logo. You got the United Nations, and you got the Georgia Guidestones. Okay, we talked about the Georgia Guidestones for several weeks.
Right.
Anti-Ten Commandments. Okay, you know, that leave room for nature, get rid of useless officials, maintain humanity under 500 million people. Okay, this is where the action's at, okay? This is where the action of the Old and the New Testament, this is where it's manifesting itself, okay? And it's happening right before our eyes, okay? And it has a lot more to do with Freemasons, the Knights Templar, the Illuminati, and all these other groups. Again, been some foolishness, talking about, you know, a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, an antichrist, two witnesses, some of these guys, and again, I'm going to refrain from, for the most part, from using specific names, but I actually know some of these people, and I actually like them, and they are well-versed to a certain extent in some of the things that they do, but look, at this point, I mean, we're getting near the end here, okay? And people just need to kind of just be galvanized into whatever, waking up, whatever you want to call it, okay? But anyway,
right, exactly, yeah.
Step back, look at the big picture. Is what I'm getting at in this tirade, because it's here, it's now. We've been sold out, okay? If you're waiting for the third temple to be built in Jerusalem, if you're waiting for the two witnesses, okay, you know, all these guys talked about two witnesses of Revelation who I'm convinced are all the prophets and servants of the Old Testament, Elijah, Zechariah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, okay, the two witnesses, okay, it's definitely not a literal, you're not going to have two guys, you know, running around Jerusalem zapping people with lightning bolts and flamethrowers, as a lot of these clowns would like you to believe. Okay, so it's things like that that people really need to look at. you know, in an hour show again. We don't have time to go into a lot of this stuff.
But right, yeah, but and here's the thing. A lot of the things that you've discussed, and as you talked about, the Georgia Guidestones one, we first looked at, again, Revelation, which we again you showed us specific areas of Revelation. That was 2, 3, 4 weeks. Then the Georgia Guidestones for X amount of time. You've talked about Margaret Sanger and the whole abortion movement as part of this whole plan in action. You talked about specifically people with the Freemasons and how there are people in the Masons, they're the hierarchy, the high-level Masons who are out to get us. And then you look at the particulars, specifically how our economy's going, how the dollar's disappearing, and you talked about that based on Revelation. So you've taken us a lot of places, Rob. Where do you think you want to guide us next in this process? Because we know a lot of this is coming true.
Well, it's unfolding before our eyes. And look, let's you know any number of directions, but let me just say this. Let me just add this, okay?
Okay.
And on top of another angle, the key to understanding the Bible, okay, and how it makes sense, okay? First, number one, is not to take very little of it as literal. I know there's a big debate, you know, between so-called literalists and people that believe most of the Bible is symbolic and figurative. I'm on the latter group, okay, and with good reason, all right? And of course, look, I mean, obviously a lot of the Bible is literal and literal history. It talks about empires and historical figures that actually existed and this sort of thing, the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Babylonians, the Hittites, okay? The Hittites were a group, you know, people used to laugh at the Bible and say, oh, the Hittites, you know, who are they? They don't even exist. The Bible's all, you know, stupid, false. It turns out in the 1900s, you know, archaeological, secular archaeologists came up with something called the Hittites. And now they're in all the history books, a very powerful empire somewhere around, say, 1000 BC. But anyway, that's just a little side note.
Right.
So the Bible is a historical book. Okay, that has a lot of, but a lot of even the literal stuff is figuratively true. Okay, and I'll go off on a tangent for a little bit since I started this subject, because it does tie into the Freemasons. Okay, from another completely different direction.
Right.
The key to the Bible, okay, is numbers.
Okay.
Remember that when you peel away the onion layers of the quote conspiracy and you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and the serpent says, you know, yea, hath God said, you know, you shall not eat from that tree. And he says, God knows that when you eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, ye shall be as God, and your eyes shall be opened. Okay, so what, again, and I've mentioned this before, where's the most prominent, where's the most famous open eye that people can think of? Take out your wallets, look at your dollar bills,
right,
on the back, there's that open eye, the stone that the builders rejected, Psalm 118, Matthew 21. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Okay, so what is Jesus saying there? Okay, it's so obvious. Okay, he's talking about the Great Pyramid at Giza. And I'm focusing on Egypt. Okay, obviously he's talking about all these stone pyramids all over the world. But let's focus on Egypt since it's the most, the only left standing wonders, seven wonders of the ancient world,
right.
The Pyramid of Giza, okay, you know, the Exodus. It's just, in a short time we have, it's just easy and it's convenient and it says a lot to focus on Egypt. But anyway, there it is, the Great Pyramid of Giza with no stone on top, okay? The stone is represented by the all-seeing eye. Your eyes shall be open, okay? And the builders, who are the builders, okay? Well, that sounds like the Freemasons, because it is. Now, the modern-day Freemasons, when we talked about this, okay, I'm not talking about these ham and eggers, okay, these regular guys that hang out the Freemason halls, you know, in most towns, and, you know, they do some decent work, okay? I'm talking about your high-level Freemasons, okay? These are the builders. They were literal builders, associated with the Knights Templar going back about 1,000 years, and they started building stone cathedrals all over Europe. They became very powerful. very rich, became enemies of the Catholic Church because the Gambinos of the Catholic Church didn't like the Capones of the Knights Templar moving in on their territory, so the Catholic Church stepped in and put an end to that. But I don't want to go off on that right now. But the point is that this is where the action is, okay? Now, when I say numbers, now, who do the Freemasons regard as God? Who is their God, okay? Sometimes they just call it outright, okay? You know, Helena Blavatsky, okay, was a high-level female Freemason, okay? It's the so-called mother of the New Age, and she just comes right out and says it and says Venus and Lucifer. Albert Pike is another high-level Freemason called Lucifer, the Light-Bearer, okay? Manly Hall, a Masonic historian.
Right.
Okay, so openly they call out Lucifer. They call him out as God. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it, okay? Again, this is stuff that people don't read. You can read enough of it. I put enough excerpts on my website, you know, with footnotes and everything, that people can read and follow this stuff for themselves. But anyway, who the Freemasons regard as their God, what do they call him? But the great architect of the universe. Okay? So architecture implies building. The stone of the builder, it implies, and how do you build? Okay, you have to build with numbers. Okay, now where is this really spelled out? You jump to the New Testament,
right?
Matthew chapter 16. Okay, now you go through Matthew chapter 16. Now Jesus is approached by the Pharisees. Remember, the Pharisees are tied at the hip with the money changers. Okay, these are the same guys that Jesus chased out of the temple with whips. Okay, it was a literal event, but again, you got to take a step back and look at the symbolism behind it. Okay, that's a preview of the end of days of what Jesus is going to do to the modern-day money changers, okay? But anyway, Matthew 16, okay, the Pharisees come up to him, come up to Jesus, and they say, well, you know, show us a sign and we'll believe you. And Jesus just looks at him and he says, you hypocrites. He says, you can discern the signs of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Okay, so
right.
What is he really saying there? He's saying you guys are nothing but a bunch of astrologers and stargazers, okay? And anybody, if you go back in ancient history, okay, and you look at the Druids, okay, is another group, the Great Pyramid of Giza, and the astronomical exactness, okay, with which a lot of these old temples around the world, and people that watch Ancient Aliens, and maybe we can do a whole show on Ancient Aliens, and what a bunch of buffoons those guys are.
Okay.
But anyway, what I will say, they're looking at the same exact thing I'm talking about from a completely different perspective. So in other words, if it were a football game, and I'm looking at it from the looking at the same game. You know, I'm looking at it from say the upper deck at the 50-yard line, and these guys might be looking at it, say the mezzanine from the end zone or something. So they're watching the same exact game that I'm watching and talking about, but it's just two totally different perspectives, the Ancient Aliens crowd. But anyway,
right?
Jesus, remember, getting back to what Jesus said, what he's talking about there, he's talking about these people that worship nature, okay? They worship
right.
The groves, okay? You go to Micah 5, Jeremiah 7, okay? The book of Nahum, okay, Jeremiah chapter 8, another one. And he said, you spray out your bones, you worship your sun and your moon, okay? Your people, that's everything, okay? Isaiah, it's all over Isaiah, okay? Worshiping the sun and the moon and this sort of thing. Joel, okay, the book of Joel, remember, the sun shall be dark and the moon shall not give off her light. Okay, this is what he's talking about, okay? He's talking about all the occultism of world history. He's kind of summarizing it, and again, it goes all the way back to ancient Sumeria, and they carry forward to ancient Egypt, okay? And again, I have a whole section on the Great Pyramid of Giza and the geometry,
right?
Okay, the golden ratio, pi, and this sort of thing that is... the historical, for example, that the pyramid complex, there's three pyramids, okay, they align astronomically perfectly with the belt of Orion, okay, you know, the constellation Orion. Okay, who is Orion but a mighty hunter? Who is the most well-known mighty hunter of the Old Testament? But Nimrod, okay, the Tower of Babel, okay? And Nimrod is highly regarded as one of the original Freemasons.
Right, okay.
Okay, what was Nimrod trying to do? He was building a one-world society. He was trying to build a tower to heaven. Now, if you were a literalist, you would have to say, well, that's pretty stupid. A tower to heaven.
Right.
What's this guy doing? He's going to build a 100 million light-year tower. You know, what was this guy, stupid? If you're a literalist, that's what you have to believe. Like, these weren't stupid people, okay? Just like today's Freemasons. They're evil, they're blind, they're drunk, in a figurative sense, again, but they're not stupid.
Exactly.
But anyway, okay, what I'm saying is that's an example. When you say the alignment of the Great Pyramids, or the Great Pyramid and the other two pyramids, the alignment with the Belt of Orion, or who is Orion? But Nimrod, okay, another name for Nimrod is the Egyptian sun god Osiris.
Oh.
Osiris just happened to, legend has it, that he died, okay, and his wife, okay, his sister slash wife was able to recover all, and then he was chopped into pieces, or was able to recover all 13 of the 14 pieces to which he was chopped into, except for his phallus, okay, his male organ.
Oh, my.
Which she made into, which is represented by a stone obelisk, okay, or the Great Pyramid. Okay, so in other words, any stone pyramid, okay, you know, or any stone structure like that, an obelisk, is a stone cement representation of the phallus of Osiris, okay, on which the whore goddess Isis, the so-called legendary goddess Isis, impregnated herself with and bore the world and bore the Freemasons, okay? And this stuff all has echoes in mythology, but where else do we hear this? Okay, this harkens back to Adam and Eve and
right.
Cain and Abel, okay? And I don't have time to develop that right now, but again, what I'm saying is you've got to start looking at the big picture here, because what these people are trying to do, the modern-day Freemasons, the Illuminati, we think they have their eyes open, are trying to pull off another Tower of Babel.
Exactly.
Okay, and the way they're trying to do it, okay, is to engender or bring about this chaos of race riots, economic calamity, World War III. Then out of that, the phoenix will rise from the ashes. The phoenix or the sun god will rise from the ashes. Okay, so that's basically what's going on. Now, let's go all the way back. Remember, we started back at Matthew 16. Okay. And I'm going to tie this
right.
all together. Now, Jesus said, you know, remember this all has to do with worshiping, these so-called ancient aliens, which I'm calling basically the fallen angels of Genesis 6, okay, demonic entities, whatever you want to call them, okay? But what is Jesus... What does he go on to say? Now just keep the last 10 to 15 minutes of conversation in mind. And he goes on to say, and, you know, and he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, okay? And the apostles are looking at each other. Well, what's he talking about? Beware of the leaven. And he starts arguing with each other. Say, it is because we haven't brought no bread, okay? So they say, well, they have not brought. They're thinking physical bread. Again, the erroneous approach of these so-called biblical literalists, okay? Jesus looks at him and says, you fools, you imbeciles, what are you talking about? Because you didn't bring physical bread. He says, don't you remember the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets you took up, or how many loaves for the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up, and they're looking at him, and they're saying, and they finally figure it out, and it says Jesus wasn't talking to them about physical bread. He was talking to them about the doctrine of the Pharisees. Okay, so hopefully you got that.
Yeah.
So he's comparing spiritual doctrine this physical bread, okay? And where did this whole conversation, this whole last 15 minutes, where did it all start? Genesis 3. Remember, ye shall not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, Lucifer, who later became Satan, okay, Lucifer, the light bearer, you know, Illuminati, okay, Obanai, all that, which we've been talking about.
Right.
Okay. He was not talking. He wasn't trying to get them to eat a bunch of peaches and plums and all whatever nonsense. He was talking about the tree, a tree of knowledge, of numbers and geometry.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which the great architect of the universe, again, is the G of the Freemasons. This is the god that they're worshiping. This is Lucifer. Okay. Again, this is where the action is. This is what I'm getting at. Okay. I don't know how else to say it, and then I know you're. And I'll just say one more thing. We kind of segue back into where we were last week. The question is, what does this have to do with today? What does this have to do with where we left off last week, talking about
exactly.
The progressive scumbag Woodrow Wilson? And I'll kind of shut up now.
Now, Woodrow Wilson. So that's an interesting thing. You went into the Bible and you went and looked at specifics about. The Freemasons, and now you go into Woodrow Wilson, and you're concerned that the Woodrow Wilson mentality, the progressivism, is what is haunting our country in so many ways. And Woodrow Wilson, in your opinion, was here to destroy our country. It sounds like you think.
Woodrow Wilson was just like another Ivy League loser,
right,
another
right.
tall, skinny, left-wing activist, left-wing at the time, and left-wing 100 years ago was a lot more subdued than left-wing today. I mean, today, the floodgates are open today. The Bowery, the Sodom and Gomorrah,
right, right.
Everything that's going on in the country today. But anyway, Woodrow Wilson was the left-wing Ivy League goop, the moron, the useful idiot, the tall, gawky guy, Ivy League guy that came from nowhere. Okay, if this sounds familiar, Barack Hussein Obama, then it should. Okay, because it's the same exact game plan. Okay, it's the same exact stupidity. When you read the history of World War One, the United States had to make the world safer democracy. There was no good reason for us to get involved in World War One. Okay, we weren't at war with Germany. The Germans certainly didn't want the war. Okay, they tried to get out of it. But the warmongers, your Rothschild money changers and their American allies, the Rockefellers and the Morgans, they wanted it. They made millions off it. It was part of their three World War plan. Okay, now we had World War One. They had their attempt at, world government called the League of Nations. Thanks Woodrow Wilson,
four years
prior to that, he signed the Federal Reserve into law. Okay, I can't say enough bad things about Woodrow Wilson. He was a racist, okay, a real racist, not these morons, these useful
right.
idiots, these ignorant dupes, today known as Black Lives Matter. Okay, Woodrow Wilson was a true racist in the spirit of the Darwinist / Margaret Sanger / Charles Davenport American Eugenic Society Survival of the Fittest
right.
Crowd. Okay, that was Woodrow Wilson. Okay, and I talk about that in the beginning of the un-American genocidal complex, the American Eugenic Society, these Darwinists, okay, these people that put a black man, okay, a black aborigine in the Bronx Zoo, okay, as proof of evolution, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And Darwin, of course, classified blacks and called them savages and called them closer to dogs and monkeys. Than Caucasian European people, and they hoped for one day that, the European stock would survive, and the sub-Saharan Africans and the savages, the Tasmanians, there's another group over in Australia, would just kind of wither away and die because they were unevolved and stupid, okay? And Margaret Sanger took this mentality, and she kind of she drove it up a notch and actually said, instead of waiting for these imbecile morons and misfits to breed themselves out of existence, why don't we just kill them right in the womb? Okay, and that used to be known as the American Birth Control League, and today we know it as Planned Parenthood. Okay, so these dumb bastards, okay, these idiots, these media whores, these Al Sharpton and these other Black Lives Matter jerk-offs, okay, they really need to read a little bit of history and figure out who their enemies are. It's this half-white scam artist in the White House, and this bitch on wheels, Hillary Clinton, the abortion Barbie herself, okay, the radical abortionist. Okay, these are the people they really need to be focused on, okay? They, you know, they're running around, they're yelling at college professors and cops and this sort of thing. You know, but anyway, but the point is that this is your institutional racism. I mean, that's a term you hear all the time, and I don't know where the hell it comes from. But if there ever was institutional racism, okay, it was this mentality of the un-American, what I call the un-American genocidal complex, which just so happens to feed right into a certain German rabble-rouser, okay, a World War One hero, the German Nationalist Party, the Nazis, by the name of Adolf Hitler and his group of merrymakers, okay, Hermann Göring, Himmler, the SS, Klaus Barbie, okay, Joseph Mengele, and this whole crowd, okay, they had this international love fest going with the Anglo-American eugenic societies, thanks to Darwinism, okay?
Right.
And this is all being funded by the Rothschild, again, the Rothschild money interest in America. It was known, the Rockefellers, your Morgans, your Vanderbilts, your Carnegies, okay? These are the guys, okay? These are modern-day money changers. These are the guys that have literally deemed themselves the inheritors of Earth, the enlightened ones, okay? They have made a literal deal with the devil, these groups, in some fashion, okay? This is the true mark of the beast, okay? These people worship the beast and have accepted his seal in their foreheads or in their right hand, okay? So again, okay, there's a literal versus figurative controversy here, I'll call it,
right.
Okay? I mean, look, you know, just to speak to that for a second, look, you might get to a point at the very end where they might want to start microchipping people, and some of it's already happening. But have no doubt, okay, these people have been worshiping Lucifer or his offshoots, again, which we know as Nimrod, Osiris, okay, Bacchus, you know, Zeus, Jupiter, Saturn, whatever god, sun god you want to pick out of so-called mythology of the ancient world, okay? These things all interconnect, okay? And they all focus, for the most part, on ancient Egypt, okay? And there's a reason for that, okay? Horus was another one, okay? Horus was the, you know, the human manifestation, okay? And
right.
The Egyptians really believed this, that the pharaoh was Horus, okay? The offshoot or the offspring of this union of the phallus, the sun god Osiris, and the female or goddess Gaia or Isis. Okay, and any
right.
of these two goddesses, Osiris and Isis, associated with a certain golden calf and a certain golden cow, if you believe that sort of thing, you're going back to the book of Exodus. But anyway, you know, I know we're going off on tangents here, but, you know, we're trying to tie all this stuff together. So in other words, the people driving today's current events are nothing but a just recycled Old Testament occultist. Okay?
Right.
And a good place to, you know, to really read up on this, okay, again, there's a link on my website, okay, it's called The Occult Conspiracy, okay, and I really go through this line by line, and there's links on that, and links to other links on my website, and those links will go to other links. But anyway, if you read that, it'll make a lot more sense. So again, they want three world wars in the spirit of the anti-Ten Commandments of the Georgia Guidestones, brought to us by Robert Christian. Remember the 18th degree of Freemasonry, six plus six. And the number of the beast and the mark is in your forehead, in your right hand, okay? So what is in your forehead, okay? Your brain is in your forehead, okay? It's got a lot more to do with a literal worship of Lucifer than some stupid barcode or some stupid microchip that might come about very quickly, you know, at the very end of things. And I'll just leave it up to you know, the other websites out there
that
focus on this stuff. And again, I make the analogy, you know, when you focus on things like that, you're looking at the caboose. You're looking at a very long, I'm just trying to describe a very long freight train here, and these people are focused on the caboose. But anyway, okay, getting back to the occult conspiracy, okay, Albert Pike, high-level Freemason, okay, who called Lucifer the light bearer and God, okay, who worshipped Lucifer, Satan, okay, going back to the Garden of Eden, we talked about that. But prescribes three world wars, okay, we have World War One, okay, and then we have World War Two. Okay, now World War Two again, what was the real cause? What was the engine behind World War Two? It was World War One, right? I mean, you had Hitler, you know,
exactly.
Germany was beaten down for no good reason. Okay, you know, the international money, you know, the money changers, the banking families I mentioned, they all made a lot of money. They control global events. They control the politicians. They gave us the Federal Reserve, okay? Remember, power flows through the purse strings, okay? The debt of a slave to a lender, okay? Going back to Proverbs 22:7, okay? So these people are the lenders. We're the debtors, okay? We're the Federal Reserve debtors. But anyway, so what happened is you get this rabble-rouser in Germany known as Adolf Hitler.
Right.
Who was just being spoon-fed Darwinism, social Darwinism, the superiority of the white race by the Anglo-American eugenics complex, okay? He was eating it up. And not only that, he was being fed, the industrial side of the German war machine was being fed by Dow Chemical, IBM, General Motors, IG Farben, which was a spinoff of Rockefeller, Standard Oil, okay? All these groups were helping Hitler build his war machine. Okay, this is how Hitler was able to recover the German economy and German pride that was really deep down after World War One. And by the way, I'm not defending Adolf Hitler.
Right, right.
Okay? But he was one pissed off individual after World War One. He was looking. He was an ardent German nationalist. And he was looking at how Germany was humiliated and beaten down after World War One. I mean, the Germans were split up into all these new countries: Czechoslovakia, Austria, I can't remember, Sudetenland, okay, there were different regions of Germany that were either industrial or Ruhr Valley, okay, was taken away from Germany and given to France, okay, so, you know, they had no economy, all they could do, they had no industrial base, all they could do to get out of their economic morass was to print money, and then the so-called Weimar Republic, okay, that was Germany after World War One, in parentheses, well, if that sounds familiar, I'll say that's all they had no industrial base. They didn't build anything, so all they could do was print money. Where have we heard that before? Okay.
Right.
That's the United States in a nutshell. But anyway, so Germany's war machine gets rebuilt, and voila, okay, you have Albert Pike's Second World War. Okay, custom made, ready to go. Okay, what came out of the Second World War? The United Nations,
yes.
Okay, the second attempt at world government. Okay, this is why I call it the un-American genocidal complex. The un part of the equation is the United Nations. Okay, they're useless. Okay, but what are they bringing us? The environmental movement. Okay, these Gaia or ISIS nature-worshipping losers. Okay, an environmental movement. Okay, again, as specified, as emulated in the anti-Ten Commandments of the Georgia Guidestones, brought to us by Robert Christian. Remember Robert Christian, our new friend?
Right, right.
Okay. So this is where we are, okay? And again, this is a Cliff Notes version of the occult conspiracy. It's all spelled out, okay, there's numerology in there, okay, I have an illustration of what the tree of knowledge of good and evil really is, okay, as represented by the Hebrew alphabet, okay, because on there, then you can derive, you know, people ask me, I get tweets from people asking, what does 322 of skull and bones mean? It's all right there, okay, it's all spelled out on my website. It has to do with geometry, numerology, remember going, you know, astrology, okay, which was the forerunner for modern day astronomy. Okay, when I say astrology, I'm not talking about these bozos, you know, they might see at the boardwalk somewhere, you know, some county fair, you know, sitting there, you know, come reach a palm. No, I'm talking about your ancient Sumerians, your so called ancient Sumerians, Babylonians, and Egyptians. who were on, who had a knowledge of astronomy, okay, is on a par, if not surpassing, us today. The Druids were another one, okay, you know, with Stonehenge, okay, you know, you had, you know, in South Africa, it was in Sumeria, okay, they had the solar system mapped out. Okay, they even had a representation of Pluto. Okay, this is going back to the beginning of civilization. Okay, and remember, talking about the evolutionists. Okay, you know, so in other words, you know, it was jack off
exactly.
The evolutionists.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, you know, mankind. You know, you okay? You know, mankind just started walking upright. Just started, you know, maybe learning to walk and chew gum at the same time, and boom, become the ancient Sumerians. You know, mapping out the entire solar system, including Pluto, which we just discovered, I think. You know, so-called modern society, discovered back in the 1930s. You know, they built the, you know, the Great Pyramid of Giza. You know, aligned with Orion. Okay, perfectly aligned. You know, there's chambers in there that align with the North Star. You know, and again, we can spend the whole show talking about the Great Pyramid of Giza, and maybe we should just to kind of you know, go into the stuff in some more detail. But anyway, the evolutionists of how we believe that, you know, a bunch of half man, half apes, you know, just, you know, they couldn't rub two rocks together or sticks together to make fire, you know, cannot build the ancient Egyptians a pyramid. It's a joke, okay?
Right.
It's an absolute joke. As far as that end of things, but again, okay, what we're seeing today, January 2016, didn't start with this image of the beast that resides in the White House, this image, okay, multi-name scam. And Neil, I mean, I'll keep saying this.
Right.
There's another show. I think we can spend a whole show talking about the numerology of Barack Obama.
Yeah, I mean, hey. So there's numerology in Barack Obama, really?
Yeah. Look, you know, again, you're not going to hear this on Fox News, and what most people will say, I'm crazy, and that's fine. I've heard it all. I'm used to it. That's fine. You know, then go watch Megyn Kelly and listen to Rush Limbaugh. You know, and Bill O'Reilly. Go listen to Bill O'Reilly. With a smug smile, and, you know, calling everybody that doesn't agree with them, you know, kooks and crackpots, that loser. But anyway, that's fine. Go listen to those people. But what I'm saying is that there are multiple numerological connections and coincidences that cannot be coincidence tied with one Barack Hussein Obama. Okay, this is why I'm 90% sure, and maybe in the future I'll be 100% sure, that he is, okay, he's not the Antichrist.
Okay.
Okay, there's no comic book Antichrist again. What I'm saying is that he is the image of the beast. Now, remember, in Revelation 17, remember, what did we say? The whore, the United States, okay, because we whored ourselves spiritually, like Israel of old. Ancient Israel and the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And again, you can read about that in the book of Hosea or Ezekiel 23. It's probably the best chapter, the best single chapter to read about the whoredom, the spiritual, i.e. figurative whoredom of Israel and Judah. But anyway, okay, the whore, the United States.
Right.
Shall ride the beast, but the beast, okay, which represents the world or most of the world, shall hate the whore. Okay. And Revelation talks about an image of the beast. Okay, the term Antichrist never shows up in Revelation. Okay, there's a spirit of Antichrist. Okay, anybody that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ has a spirit of Antichrist, is believed to be Antichrist. Okay, and of course, it's emulated by Satan himself. But he's got a lot of help. Okay, he's got all these other so-called gods of mythology. Okay, Apollo, who equates to Osiris, for example. Okay, where else do we see the name Apollo?
Right.
In Revelation chapter 9. Okay, you remember the king at the bottom of the pit is known as Apollyon. Okay, a combination of Apollo and On. Okay, which just so happens to be On is the name for Orion. Okay, so you can see how this stuff all connects. All right. But anyway, when I say the beast, okay, I'm talking about the image of the beast, okay? It's an image, okay? Jesus himself, if you go back to Colossians chapter 1, is talking about the image of the invisible God. Okay, he described himself as God, and him and the Father was one, but in Colossians, he was described as the image. So in other words, it's a physical being. God in the flesh is described as an image in the book of Colossians. So you got to take the same concept and look at the image of the beast in Revelation. Okay, and the beast shall hate the whore. Now, if you look at Barack Hussein Obama, okay, who's doing his best with his surrounding cadre of psychopaths, of outright maniacs, okay, who are doing their best to start World War III with Russia.
Right.
Over Syria, and a few of the Middle Eastern countries that we have no business being in, and in fact have made worse. Okay, none of this makes any sense. Okay, this is insanity. What this country is doing, the only way this makes sense, and I've mentioned this before, again, I'm going to say it's got nothing to do with some stupid gas pipeline, from Iran to, Russia, competing, United States trying to save the petrodollar. That makes zero sense. Okay, why would the people...
Right.
That control the fiat currency, that created the fiat currency to be just that, a system of debt so they can enslave us all in their debt system. Why the hell would they come in here at the last minute and scratch their heads and say, oh, we really screwed up here. We've got to try and save the petrodollar. It's all an act. It's all a bunch of crap to throw people off. Okay, these people want World War III. When you look at this stuff logically, that's the only thing that makes sense. Okay, the Bible is the only thing. It describes this and it makes sense. But anyway, getting back to the beast, okay, the beast shall hate the whore, which means the image of that beast shall hate the whore. But if you look at Barack Obama, okay, does this guy not hate the United States? I mean, you can listen, and I'm a huge Michael Savage fan. I don't think he goes... And he's starting to kind of get into this a little bit. Okay, he's the only one I can tolerate. Him and James David Manning, a reverend out in Harlem. Okay, the only two people I can tolerate anymore.
That's hard
to get my news from. Plus some so-called alternative websites. But anyway, as far as listening to news. But anyway, just listen. And it makes a lot of sense. And in a secular standpoint, he's really onto something. Okay, but the point is, if you look at Obama, okay, of course he's like any scumbag politician. He gets on and he lies and he deceives. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. And, he'll hang a medal on a soldier and then go to some kind of Veterans Day parade and look all, presidential in front of the cameras. So what does he do, in his so-called, he doesn't get away with the budget showdown, and he shuts down the World War II Memorial and then blocks a bunch of World War II veterans from celebrating Veterans Day. He screws over the veterans, big time, which is the Veterans Administration scandal, while he's letting in, tens of millions of illegal aliens and ISIS terrorists. So the guy, and the whole Benghazi thing, the whole gun running thing, the Fast and Furious, on a secular level. He hates the Second Amendment. He hates freedom of speech. He hates Congress. He hates the fact. Because he is so into himself, he doesn't even like to be questioned. Okay, that's legendary with this guy.
Right.
Okay, he hates everything about the United States. Okay, and he represents the world. Okay, remember now. Look at this guy. Now take a step back and look at this guy. All right, he bows to the king of Saudi Arabia. Okay, the Sunni Muslim crowd. He puts Hillary Clinton in, okay? He's behind the destruction of Muammar Gaddafi. Okay? By the way, who was trying to create a pan-African currency, a gold-backed pan-African currency, okay? He was a threat to the international banking cartel and their plans, okay? So they get rid of him. Saddam Hussein, the same thing. I'm not saying these are great guys, okay? And by the way, remember the first Gulf War and even the second Gulf War with George Bush, making a safer democracy. If you go back to the propaganda, going back to Woodrow Wilson for a second, and I'm doing a lot of reading on this lately, and you read it, the newspaper articles and the quotes and the speeches, it's the same lines of crap. Okay, the same lines of pig manure that these guys were spewing 100 years ago to get us in a war with Germany, okay, making a world safer democracy and, kill the Huns. It's the same thing, okay? Remember George Bush the first, Saddam Hussein was pulling babies off incubators, which turned out to be a lie. weapons of mass destruction a lie, making the world safer democracy a lie. Okay, if anything, and Assad is a perfect example of that. Syria, okay, he wasn't perfect, but he was a generally popular secular leader in the Middle East who had a 20% Christian population in Syria. Okay, that's down by up to 2/3 right now, thanks to the efforts of abortion Barbie, Hillary, and her boss Obama. But anyway, so he's friends with the Saudis. And at the same time, Mr. Muslim. You don't know if he's a Muslim. You don't know if he's Christian. He says, what does he say? In his book, he's quoted several quotes. Where he talks about that call of prayer. The Muslim is the most beautiful sound. He gets on TV with George Stephanopoulos and insists he's a Christian. After he says he has a slip of the tongue, says he's a Muslim. Okay, he makes his deal with the Iranians. He's friends with the Iranians, but the Iranians and the Shiite Iranians and the Sunni Saudis hate right. each other. As we can see, they're about to at each other, so they're about to go to war. Okay, he's at odds with Russia. Okay, right. He instituted this neo-Nazi regime in the Ukraine. Okay. He's pro-abortion. He's rapidly pro-abortion. Okay, he's for gay rights. Okay, we don't know who his parents are, but just take a look in the aggregate. So wait a second. You bow to the king. Just look at that for a second. Okay, you bow to the king of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
But when the Supreme Court supposedly passes the gay rights. You light up the White House and avoid the purple and whatever the cause of the homosexual movement represents. So what I'm saying is this guy has no soul. Okay? He has no image. He has no principles. The only thing that drives this guy is hatred. Okay, hatred of the country that elected him, so-called most powerful position in the world. Okay, and I see I'm coming up to the end here. Maybe this is a good way.
This is the thing I think we definitely should touch upon when what you're saying from Obama is that you've never seen a president so much like the beast that you're talking about, which again could bring a lot of controversy. Rob,
good. That's fine. I'm saying he's the image. This guy, he's nothing, okay? He's a ghost. He's a vapor trail. James chapter 4, he's nothing. Okay, I'm just saying that he's a whim. He's an image of the beast, okay? He's whatever you want him to be, except, and again, let me just say this real quickly. But who is this guy? And I get this mail, okay? I contribute to all these groups, okay, that are trying to fight this guy. Who does this guy really hate? Who is he going after? Is he going after ISIS terrorists? No, he's letting them into the United States wholesale. I mean, is he going after, Mexican drug cartels? No, he's giving them guns with things like Fast and Furious, okay? The IRS scam. But who does this guy hate? Who does he hate? Christians. Okay, I get this mail all the time, okay? That is one principle. That is one thing that he sticks to, okay? If you preach the Bible and the military right now, even if you're a chaplain, okay, you are prone to be court-martialed, dishonorably discharged, and possibly jailed, thrown into Fort Leavenworth, or whatever. Okay, so just think about that, okay? The guy bowed to the king of Saudi Arabia, and chaplains were deemed the heroes most essential in the Revolutionary War by the first president, George Washington. Now he's gone full circle to Obama, who wants to literally run chaplains out of the military under the threat of court-martial and discharge, okay? So, again, he hates this country, hates its traditions. He is the image of the beast. And we'll go into this more in the next several weeks. I just think this guy is it. And, again, if you want to hear about the comic book, the guy with the horns and the pitchfork and, throwing flames out of a temple in Jerusalem.
So it's boxofsunglasses.com at Rob Roselli. You can purchase it on Amazon. your book and all these things, Rob, and best of luck. We'll talk to next week, but I think you really touched upon another great topic. You're covering lots of material. A lot of people need to go back and listen to all the shows, and at boxofsunglasses.com, they'll all be up there, all the archives. So take care, man, and we'll talk next week.
All right,
God bless. That was Rob.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.